TV.
I'm able to do a show, so here I am. Every time I'm able, I will do a show. Glad you're all here. I'm glad I'm here. I spent one night at the hospital. It was absolutely horrible. It was ridiculous. I mean, I'm just going to talk about this for a couple minutes. It was so misleading. Now, I have to say this. Everybody at Cleveland Clinic, Weston, Florida branch, everyone is nice with one or two exceptions. Really friendly people, good people, kind-hearted people, lovely people. But everybody's trapped within the system. Okay, the doctor told me yesterday morning, when Maria and I went there, I wasn't even sure why I was going there. I said, what's this appointment for? She goes, I don't know, you're not having your second infusion until next week. Yeah, I know, what are we going for, really? I don't know, we'll find out when we get there. So we get there, and we just decided, well, we'll decide what this appointment is about. We want to talk about wound care. I need somebody who knows what the hell they're doing with this, which so far nobody does. And I need pain management. There's another thing nobody knows what they're doing. I need some heavy-duty pain meds. I don't need something that comes out of a Pez dispenser. So the doctor said, well, the best way to get both these things done is just to get admitted to the hospital. Just come back, and I'll write an order ahead of time. When you show up to the ER, you'll just be admitted. Sounds great, right? Like, we're going to be this priority people. We're going to be VIPs. We're going to get, you know, zipped through up into the red carpet. We're going to take a magic carpet ride up to the 17th floor or whatever. We're going to have our own private suite and, champagne on ice. So we didn't get there till about maybe 6 or 7 o'clock p.m. We had stuff to do. I made a show, thank God. It was great talking to you. I miss you, and I'm happy to hear you missed me. Thank you very much. So, you know, we got in pretty quick into the ER. That's the first step, right? No. In my case, it's the first step and the last step. So I get in the ER, and they say, okay, well, we're going to move you to, I'm ready to hear the words, your room. Well, in fact, I did hear the words, your room. But my room was an upgraded room in ER, like one bed instead of like 18 beds with 15 curtains surrounding it, right? It was an ER. I was on a gurney. And I said, what do you mean, like, this is my room? Like, how long am I going to stay here before we get whisked up to the 17th floor and champagne on ice? No, this is where you're spending the night. What? This is like an embalming table. This is a morgue. What is this? Well, you must have been mistaken. I think the doctor that talked to me was mistaken. He said I was going to be, I wrote down the word here. He said I was going to be admitted to the hospital. Admitted. Well, this is being admitted, sir. Admitted to the ER? Yes, sir. Look how nice this ER is. Here's a few pictures of the sterile, horrible, refrigerated, and then it was colder than a morgue room. And my wife was there, and Marie was just, oh my God, I'm so sorry, babe. You know, I'm so sorry, babe. And you don't get a bed. It's not a bed. It's a gurney. And I said, look, I'm here for pain management. So far, my pain is increasing by the second. When does the management part start? And why do I have to spend a night here for that to happen? I thought maybe that they were going to whisk me up to the 62nd floor, and I was going to get an IV, nice little IV started that's going to take all my pain away. And then a bandage babe was going to come and just bandage me up real nice and anoint it with myrrh and frankincense, and that all the money that the insurance company is paying for this experience will bring to pass the experience that I anticipated that was sold to me by my doctor. No. This is the experience. You're spending the night here. I spent the night in my clothes, wearing my shoes. I finally realized at 1 a.m. that I was sleeping on top of my wallet. They put four blankets on top of me. I said, could you bring me an insurance blanket? And could you turn the GD temperature up? No, I didn't say anything. I'm very kind. I'm always kind. No matter what, I don't smart off to anyone. I treat everyone kindly. I'm humorous. I'm funny. I'm my charming self, okay? Because I know these people control my life. And so I'm not going to make them mad. So I'm always very jovial, trying to do the best I can here. I'm spending the night here. This is my admission. This is what you call an admission. And I really should have walked out with Maria. When it was time for Maria to leave, I wanted to walk out with her. And I should have. I really should have. I should have walked out with her. They put a port thing in my arm that was only used once. It was just for, I guess the nurse was practicing, because the first one she tried on my right arm hurt like hell. She missed it. And the second one she put on in my left arm. So you sleep clothed here. Of course, they put one of those gowns on you that has not been improved on since 1913 when they first designed it. And it was... Oh, and also I was hooked up to a... Oh, I told you that. Oh, yeah, I was hooked up to a blood pressure cuff. It was on my right arm that every 2 hours started inflating, every 2 hours, to make sure I was alive. Why did they... I'm not a critical care patient. I am not a person whose pulse is suddenly going to stop. I'm not a person whose blood pressure is suddenly going to drop to zero. This is all... done by rote. They have no idea why they're doing any of this. No idea why they're doing any of this. Why am I spending the night? Nothing happened all night except that I didn't sleep. I mean, it was just so horrendous. And the blankets were all topsy-turvy. I had a urinal, to take a leak. But I had to stand up. But I was attached to a short leash with my finger here. And another leash to the blood pressure cuff here, which made none of which made any sense. Just look in the window, wave at me, and I'll wave back, and that'll prove to you I'm alive. I know it's an old-fashioned way, but I'm old school. Look through the window, wave. I'll wave because I'll be awake. Because I don't know, there's no way anybody could sleep here. I have my tricks. I have my earphones with my white noise, and I have my eye shades. The night passed slower than any night should pass, really. I said, why am I here? This was I thought about escaping. I just thought about getting dressed. But I was already dressed. So halfway there, I was already dressed. I slept with my shoes on all night. I finally took my wallet out. Like I said, what's that? Oh, yeah. I finally took that out at 1 o'clock. The doctor prescribed me some super-duper pain medicine that was only given me once. And the nurse said every 6 hours. And I looked at my watch because I was very concerned. I actually brought my clock. I brought my electronic clock. And I said, okay, I see a 10:30, 11:30, 1:30, 3:00. But this would be due again at 4:30. This would be great. By some miracle, like 5 a.m. arrived. I don't know how it arrived, but it did. Second by second, 5 a.m. arrived. And I rang my little buzzer. Ding! I think it's time for my... No, sir. No, you don't have any pain medicine coming. Well, you're in charge. I really should have escaped. I was already dressed. All I had to do was take my little Spirit Airlines bag, pull it along, just wave everybody. Borrow a lab coat. I could have found a lab coat laying around, put a lab coat on, just walked out the door, got in an Uber, and got home. I should have been home. In the morning, Maria said, well, I slept 7 hours last night. I said, I had a similar experience with one major difference. I was awake for 7 hours last night. But other than that, we kind of had a similar night. Stupidest thing ever. And an hour before I was discharged, they finally did what part of the thing they were supposed to do, which was somebody came in and did wound care. But they could have done that that morning when I was there. They could have done that and written the instructions down and given it to the home care people who will come and hopefully know how to take care of this wound so it doesn't hurt all the time. And now, since I'm in charge of taking my freaking pain pill, I'm going to see if it works. Anyway, oh my God. Okay. But, all's of God. I was cheerful with everyone I met. I swear to you, I was. I'm aware of being a living letter. I'm aware that I might be the only Christ that these people see. I must amuse them. I must make them laugh. I must make them happy. I must not blame them for anything. I must amuse them. I must humor them. And I must commiserate with them for the jobs that they have to do. And I must not blame them for things that are befalling me. For, my friends, these things befall me not via the hands of man, but via the counsel of God. God has brought this upon me, every bit of it. Every wakeless hour, every sleepless minute was brought upon me by the Lord of glory and the Lord of hosts. I kid you not, I speak not in a tone of facetiousness, not at all, but of truth, verity. This is all of God. I know it's of God. So as I was lying there, I thought about Brian Epstein and the Beatles again. And I thought, you know, I really need to emphasize that message I gave last night. See, it always comes down to thinking about this stuff constantly. It's more than ownership. It's more than management, I should say. It's more than management. What Brian Epstein did for the Beatles, I got something way bigger than this. Hang on, way bigger than this. I'll have time, don't worry. Before Brian Epstein discovered them, the Beatles, I'll show you a photo here. They dressed in leather. They were what they would call back in the days of Liverpool, they called them scruffs or teddy boys. They're basically gangs, and they hung out. And when they got their gig in Hamburg from their first manager, Alan Williams, during some numbers, Lennon used to wear a toilet seat over his head, and they would drink on stage. They were just a real motley crew. So Brian Epstein comes along and makes them presentable. Of course, you see the analogy with Christ and the contract that I hinted at, that I analogized between Brian Epstein and the Beatles and Christ and us is not a contract at all, because two parties do not sign it. It is a one-party contract. God does it because he makes the contract before we're even born. Let's go to Ephesians, because that's where I want to end up anyway. Ephesians 3, chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ, according as he chooses us in him before the disruption of the world. Okay, that's before we were born, way before we were born. So we were already chosen, already had our suits, already got the toilet seats off of our head. We're not smoking on stage anymore. We're not drinking on stage. We're like ready to go. And when we're born, we don't know any of this yet. We just go through the motions. We don't know yet that we were designated in love beforehand for the place of a son for him, through Christ Jesus, in accord with the delight of his will. We don't know any of that yet, okay, when we're born. We're going to find it out. I guarantee to you, you will find it out. There's no such thing as someone who is called to be a member of the body of Christ who is never called. I've heard that proffered before. Well, you don't know. Somebody could die not knowing they're a member. No. Nobody dies not knowing they're a member of the body of Christ. Whom he designates beforehand, these he calls. Whom he designates beforehand, these he calls. My pain management isn't working yet, because I really haven't taken my super duper pill yet. I'm saving it like for right before I go to bed. He calls those he designates beforehand. He just does. So you're going to be called. There's no chance you won't be called. Okay? Just going by scripture, flying by the instruments, all right? Whom he calls, these he justifies. He brings us information that he sees us as perfected already. We to be holy and flawless in his sight. See, we are now holy and flawless in his sight. We will be constituted holy and flawless. But right now we're holy and flawless in his sight. See, we're justified in his sight. We're not constituted just yet. And then there's one person here that hates this truth. I don't know who this guy is, but he always says, no, we're perfect. We never sin. All right. Go ahead, vent. Do your thing. I still love you. I don't know who you are, but there's somebody here that's convinced, he never sins. Never sins. It's strange that Paul then spent six chapters, or chapters, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about talking about our sin. You know, it's weird. I don't know. You know, we should not let sin be lording it over us. It's impossible to do unless you actually have it. And we are looking forward to the to our bodies being changed from mortal to immortal. See, we're not immortal bodies now. We're mortal bodies, and mortal bodies sin. It's just the way it is. I'm sorry I'm wasting time, but there's only one person in this entire audience who believes something as crazy as, and he thinks I'm crazy for saying, for Sender still believes we're sinners. That's too bad. You know, maybe you, sir, don't understand the figure of speech prolepsis, calling what is not as though it were. God calls us as though we were not sinners. That's a figure of speech. We still sin. We still miss the mark. Otherwise, Paul would not say in 1 Corinthians 15:34, sober up justly and do not be sinning. Why would he have to say or recommend not to sin if we... if we're immortal, in which case it would be impossible for us to sin. Okay. I got that out of the way. Now we're going to... I just didn't like the way I didn't go deep enough with the Brian Epstein Beatles analogy. It's not just purchasing beforehand or shaping beforehand. It's not just managing. It's inhabiting. Managing suggests that we have some independence. And of course, in the analogy, of course, the Beatles were independent, and they had to sign a contract to agree to do what Brian Epstein said to do, and they did it, and they became successful. But we don't sign such a contract because we're not trusted to honor such a contract. Just as Israel does not sign a contract in the New Covenant, the first covenant, yes, they promised to do their end. God promised to do his end. We know what happened. They failed their end. Second covenant was made with Abraham while Abraham was asleep. Love that truth. God, great things happen when man is asleep. I wouldn't know anything about that last night, but no, I slept for maybe three or four hours. It was pretty, I don't know. God, when God made the covenant with Abraham, put him to sleep. When God pulled Eve from Adam, he put Adam to sleep. We were so-called not even, well, we weren't in existence when God designated us beforehand. It was like we were asleep, but we weren't. We didn't exist. I don't want anybody saying, then they said we were asleep before the disruption of the world. No, we didn't exist. Here's the thing. I'm telling you the truth now. I'm telling you the truth every day, but this hit me today. I get by every day contemplating the future. The future. And I am not talking about the snatching away. I'm going to end with this. This might take me 6 minutes to end. But I realize now, today, more and more. I mean, this has hit me before, but it's hitting me anew. The snatching away just gets us there. The snatching away is the bus. The snatching away is the subway. The snatching away is the airport. The snatching away is now boarding flight 777 for the celestial realms. The snatching away is the bus terminal. It's the transport system. And I'm going to say something bold right now. That's all it is. It's the means by which we arrive at our destiny, and at which time we assume our celestial duties. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking now past the snatching away. Oh, we're getting to the airplane. Oh, look at all the peanuts. Oh, look at the attractive flight attendants. This is the best airplane I've ever been on. Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm actually belittling the snatching away. You've never heard me do that, but you just heard it. I'm belittling the snatching away. It's the bus trip. You get on the bus. It's nice. It's amazing. We're flying. There's Christ. But it's the transportation system, the network. It's not even the thing. I mean, it's so amazing. We look at it as a thing. It's not the thing. It gets us to the thing. It gets us to the thing. What's the thing? I'm glad you asked. God, am I glad you asked. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ, according as he chooses us in him before the disruption of the world. We, to be holy and flawless in his sight in love, designating us beforehand for the place of a son for him through Christ Jesus, in accord with the delight of his will, for the Lord of the glory of his grace, which graces us in their beloved, in whom we are having currently the deliverance through his blood, the forgiveness, letting off, letting away. It just means it. This is in the most generic sense of the word. It's not in the formal circumcision sense. It's in the generic letting go, to let go. That's all that forgiveness means, to let go. If I'm holding you and you can't get to the bus stop, I let you go. I forgive you, okay? Forgiveness of offenses in accord with the riches of his grace, which he lavishes on us in all wisdom and prudence. Here it is, making known to us the secret of his will. Here it is. Making known to us the secret of his will in accord with his delight, which he purposed in him. To have an administration. This is what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking through the snatching away. It's going to be a swell bus trip. It's going to be a great flight. I can't wait. But this is the thing. To have an administration. That's what I'm looking forward to. This is what I think of when I see every single person at that hospital. Every single person on the street. To have an administration. I am going to be an administrator. You are going to be an administrator. Of what? The complement of the eras. The completion of the eras. We're going to bring everything to a successful conclusion for every human being that has ever lived. And we're going to bring the eras themselves to a successful conclusion where everyone will be able to look back at all the shit that has happened and see it all as being justified. See it in light of the glory, at which time it will look like nothing. That's what I'm looking forward to. To have an administration of the complement, the filling up of the heirs, to head up all into Christ. That's what I want to do. That's what I'm going to do. That's why I'm special. That's why you're special, to head up all into Christ. All in the Christ. All head up all into Christ. The most loving being in the universe is the Christ, the anointed one of God, the Son of God, who demonstrated his love for us by coming to earth, to this hellhole, this shithole, this fuck trench of misery, and to die the most heinous death imaginable, in the most dire circumstances imaginable, the most doom-filled days of his doom-filled life. And he does it because of love. Love even for the people who are tormenting him. And this is in accord with the delight of his will. All is going to be headed up under Christ, not under Satan, not under Apollyon, the god of the submerged chaos. Christ, the sovereign of the universe, the good Son of God, the gracious Son of God, the loving Son of God. Everything will be headed up under him. And he cares for everyone. He cares for the last lost sheep. And he died a miserable death for the last lost sheep. Everything will be headed up under him.
in him, through him. Both that in the heavens and that on the earth. That's all just verse 10 of Ephesians 1. In him, in whom our lot was cast. Our lot, our glory, our presence, our being, our reason for being is caught up in his reason for being. That's why I'll speak for myself. That's why I'm so impatient for it. I'm even going to be impatient when we're on the flight. I'll be the one in the background. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? An administration of the compliment to head up all in Christ, both that in the heavens and that on the earth. You think that because we're going to the heavens that we have nothing to do with earth anymore? That's what some people think. I love the earth. Some people, they're in love with the earth. Okay, I don't get it. Okay, there's some nice places, some beautiful days. There's some flowers. Some people have very nice houses. I've seen some nice, beautiful lakes with the sunlight shimmering off of them. You watch some of these Olympic figure skaters, are so beautiful. Ooh, look at them go. They're all on the earth. Yeah, there's some nice stuff on the earth, some amazing people, but okay, they're all touched by mortality. But we're going to head up all into Christ, both that in heaven, that on the earth. We're not leaving everything on the, we're not leaving everything on earth to Israel. Are you kidding? Israel's under our supervision. Okay. In him in whom our lot was cast, being designated back to that, being designated beforehand according to the purpose of the one who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. Since he's operating all of it in accord with the counsel of his will, what are the chances that it won't happen? So I keep pulling this because, see, I'm fine until I start getting passionate. I start talking, my mouth starts moving, it starts hurting like a bitch. So I have to do this. Now I'll settle down after I turn the tape off. Tape. What is 1993 all over again here? In whom our lot was cast, being designated beforehand according to the purpose of the one who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will, that we should be for the Lord of his glory, who are pre-expectant into Christ. I asked Manfred, what should I make a show about on Sunday? That's when I realized I was unable to make a show. Manfred said, talk about us being pre-expectant into Christ. That's a good idea. I never did it. Here it is. We who are pre-expectant into Christ. What the hell do you think that means? It means that we are expectant. We are expected to be in Christ. We are expected to be pulled out of this earth by Christ. We are expected to be one in Christ. We are expected to be headed under Christ before anybody else. And that includes Israel. Who else is in the running for that? But Israelites. We are pre-expectant in the Christ. Let me read that verse again, verse 12, that we should be for the Lord of his glory who are pre-expectant in the Christ. What else does that mean? That verse is just pre-expectant in the Christ. Five words, if you include the hyphen, pre-expectant. We have an expectation before Israel. The people who only see one gospel, and they think I'm crazy for teaching two gospels, even though Paul teaches two. The whole Bible is just, you read a verse like this, pre-expectant. Before who? Or whom? Israel. Who else? In whom you also, on hearing of the word of truth, the evangel of your salvation, not the evangel of Israel's salvation, the evangel of your salvation, in whom unbelieving also, God's responsibility, on whom believing also, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is an earnest of the enjoyment of our allotment. That's the thing that got me through spending the night in the morgue on a gurney. That's what got me through. Sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I have an earnest of my inheritance. I have a guarantee living in me that this will come to pass. And I live every day not hoping for that, but expecting it.